Forever! Dog!
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that
culture? Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
You were going to take me to task on something.
Yeah, I hate that you always say how tired you are.
And I hate that I always say how tired I am. It's so uninteresting. It's so bad. It's so dumb. Why do people do it? Why do I do it?
I would even go as far as to say, I don't think so, honey. People who, their thing is how tired they are. And that's you.
But I do.
And I'm so sad to see that's become your identity. You're so much more dynamic than that.
I'm not saying it's my identity. Who's saying it's my identity?
I am. You're saying it so much. Like, you've been so tired.
Yeah, I don't. But I am worried.
Are you too tired to talk about it?
No, I'm worried that it is
becoming your reputation.
No. I'm worried that it's portending something bad.
What is portend?
I'm worried it's gonna be a disease.
Okay, stop. Because I said to Bowen, stop talking about how tired you are, and he looks at me and he's like sunk down in the couch, and he goes, what if I have something? And I said, well, bitch, you are currently on PrEP, which means you go for regular checkups. So I'm just saying, you go now for your regular... By the way, everyone, Bowen Yang's on PrEP.
Stop.
Just saying.
Stop that.
He's in LA. He's on PrEP. He'll be in New York soon. He's chatting all about. We'll be on tour. He's on PrEP. Look, I think you're fine. But here's the thing, is it's like, everyone's tired. You know what I mean?
I know. Everyone's tired.
Literally everyone is tired.
But for this particular trip, it's like, it's that whole millennial burnout thing where there's no boundary between work and relaxation, and like, that's just what it's become.
And so
I've been worn out by not working.
I'm also frequently at a high energy.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe makes you tired. It's like when a dog that's a little bit older, no shade, sees a younger dog that has a lot more energy, it's like, oh, I'm already done. You can tell the older dog is like getting more tired just by watching what's happening.
I don't want to be that older dog, though. I want to be the sprightly thing. Anyway.
Can I say why I'm in my happy place?
Yes.
You went to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And
Hot associate producer Alec.
I'm so sorry. He said he was going to Disneyland.
Yes.
And I said, okay, cool. Let me plan the trip for you.
Can I read this whole thing?
By the time Bowen Yang got back from the restroom, I had planned his Disney day.
I'm just going to read this entire list that filled up an
entire
page.
This is good for everyone. Because I just went for my birthday.
So this is good for everyone. Start at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Star Tours / Space
Mountain. Can I stop you for 1 second? This is to say that you have bought a multi-park pass with Max Pass that allows you to do Fast Pass option.
Great.
Okay, now that we're clear.
Okay, Star Tours / Space Mountain, depending on wait time.
Right.
Fast Pass Radiator Springs Racer,
a.k.a. Cars.
Matterhorn Bobsleds.
Mm-hmm.
Big Thunder Mountain.
Yes.
This is all just in order of what
to do. And I know that the Matterhorn thematically is very close to the Big Thunder Mountain, but just, you know, for wait times and for functionality, we're doing them both in a row.
Yeah. Okay, so Big Thunder Mountain. Asterisk. By this time, you may be able to do to fast pass Guardians of the Galaxy,
Mission Breakout.
Formerly
Tower of Terror. Rest in peace.
Next, Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm,
next,
classic.
Splash Mountain. Parenthetical. You may have to fast pass this if it's warm.
Famously, if it's warm, the Flume rides will have a longer wait.
Yeah.
This is why I say that in the parenthetical.
All caps. Lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Important.
Head over to California Adventure. Parenthetical. The other park.
This is the other park.
Asterisk. By this time, you may be able to fast pass Incredicoaster.
You may.
Okay, next. Radiator Springs Racers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Incredicoaster. And then big bracket, not necessarily in this order for these three, depends on fast pass reservation time.
Yes, that's clear.
We've already maxed out at our four fast passes, though, haven't
we? No, that's not the way it works.
Don't touch this. Asterisk. Fast pass availability. Oh, okay. Should be pretty open for everything now except Soarin'. You may have to wait for Soarin'. Parenthetical. Worth it.
I waited an hour for Soarin' and it was worth it.
Asterisk, fast pass Toy Story Midway Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Fast pass around this time, continually check for fast pass availability. These are must-sees,
and I put them in quotes because they're not really.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Sorry, Shady, but I don't like it.
Buzz Lightyear.
Mm,
question mark, whatever Fantasyland stuff.
Those little trinkets.
Yeah. Okay, but that's Alec's itinerary.
And I think you're gonna have a great fucking day.
I think the people
I took with me to my birthday, Joel Kim Booster, Greta Titelman, et cetera, it had all been their first time at Disneyland, and they will never go without me now. That's what they said.
Mm.
It's my dream to... I think I missed my career. to be a specifically mainstream theme park, like, planner.
I mean...
Can I say something?
There's a hole in the market, and you...
There's a hole in the market.
You have to fill that hole.
You know who I bet is fun at Disneyland?
Our guests.
Our guests. But one just shook his head, and that makes me feel like maybe not. But I feel like I would crack him right open at Disneyland.
Crack him right open at Disneyland.
I feel like you just love it. From the shake of the head, I don't know.
No, we'll get into it. But this is constantly. This is your litmus test
for if we can
be friends.
Yeah, really connect.
Okay. Well, you and I have already connected to so many.
We've
things
already
about
connected.
These people.
You and I have already connected.
I'm talking about us connecting with our guests.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We've connected in so many ways.
You've been directed by one of our guests.
Yes.
And I was very jealous because this is a director. And director of the Millennium.
Of the Millennium. Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
She wins today on Las Culturistas. She wins the Director of the Millennium Award.
This is your Britney Spears.
Type that up and print it out, Hoppa.
You're Britney Spears at the VMAs when Michael Jackson thought he was getting the Artist of the Millennium Award because Britney Spears presenting said, I consider him to be the Artist of the Millennium. And then he mistook that to be. It was like the Video Vanguard Award.
You're right. That is the situation.
But we're saying one of our guests is.
She's Michael and I'm Britney, which tracks.
Oh, no.
We're both
I don't know.
In dire straits.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Okay. Well,
and, these guests are iconic to me. And I even emailed the guests after they did I Don't Think So, Honey, because I'm such a fan and I was so gagged that they were at the show.
And, well, this is the gag is that one of our guests was directing, and then in between takes, she was like, when are Paul and I coming on? And I was like, I literally said, whenever you want.
Unbelievable that they would listen to this trash.
I
talked about Disneyland for 2 minutes.
And then I felt really self-conscious. I was like, I've sounded like an idiot 90% of the time.
But here's the thing. I still feel a connection.
I still feel a
because
connection.
Also, Pauly Lou was my favorite sketch.
Pauly Lou was
good. Really was. And Stop
it.
It really was. And before you guys came in, we watched Real Housewives of South Boston.
So good. The same on St. Patrick's Day, we watched the St. Patrick's
on
Day
On St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. And famously, I think the best sketch of all time is one of our guests playing Robin from Batman and Robin. I think it's truly iconic.
Oh, my God.
And then forget about the mainstream film they've moved on to. Baby Rough Night is what me and my family watched on Thanksgiving.
And we loved it.
And guess who was there?
Who?
One of the stars of the film. Zoe Kravitz. No, just kidding.
No.
Colton Fryer.
Colton Haynes. Oh, yeah, Mo.
Yeah, Colton Haynes was there.
Colton, I don't know.
He's out there.
Colton's a
sweetie. He can come over.
I love Colton.
But Mo Fry-Pasek was there.
Yeah.
And
Jabuki Young White was there.
He was not there.
In the Borat.
He's always invited over too, though. Mo was filling in for my sister for Thanksgiving.
Oh, right.
She came over to the Rogers house.
She's so good.
And my parents were so taken with her. Mm-hmm. They were like, we have to watch Mo's movie.
Mm,
and that was Rough Night. And we had a great time.
That's beautiful.
And that was the second time I had seen it.
Never watch movies on planes. I never watch movies on planes.
But you did.
Saw Rough Night on a plane. I was like.
Made the whole experience.
I was like.
You forgot you were in the air.
I was like. Do people know how good this movie is? I like wanted to tell people. I was like, sir, you have to watch this movie.
And was sir like the flight attendant?
Yes. And he was just.
I hope it wasn't the pilot. He had a job to do.
He had a job to do. But yeah, God, we love them so much. Please welcome.
I don't have no interest in interrupting.
I
this.
Know.
No,
no,
stop. No, 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 no,
no. Come on.
Don't stop. Go on.
We love them so much. Okay. Please welcome into your ears
Lucia Aniello and Paul W. Downs.
Wow.
So happy to be here.
This is
really
an honor.
Thrilled.
Honor and a pleasure.
As Come Bowen on. Said, like I was like, when are we coming on? This is not this is not just a whim. This is a promise.
This is unbelievable to
Come
me.
On.
This is a threat.
This is a threat.
We're coming on and we are coming on.
Thank I feel threatened you. And turned on.
Wow. I can't good. Believe this.
Can we do a quick origin, actually?
Yes.
I want to do it.
Oh, well.
No, you do it. You do it, but I have a comment already.
Ours are different, so.
But they're not.
This is exciting.
Okay,
you go first.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay, great.
This is like the version of what we just did.
I know. Cut it out. Edit this out.
The year is, I don't know, 2015, 2016.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Lower East Side.
Set the scene.
On set.
New York. Ooh.
Broad City.
New York. Broad City.
Comedy Central.
Yeah.
So, I had seen Bowen audition for, you know.
Sundry things.
Caddy sales clerk part that we had. Yeah. It was whatever it was for Broad City.
Uh-huh.
So we were, I already knew he was coming in, but I didn't know of him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I just had known him for the audition, but he comes on to set and with after the first take, I don't know if you remember this, after the first take, you were so fucking funny. I literally said, I came up to you, having already met you, and I said, who are you?
I remember.
I truly did that. I said, who are you?
Yeah.
And then we changed some stuff later in the scene that ended up getting cut that had you in the stretcher end.
Yeah.
Because I was like, more.
We need more.
Oh my God.
But it is the same.
Okay,
it's
great.
The same story because I came to set and Lucia was like, wait till you see this. truly.
Yes.
Not a joke because I was on set that day.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You were, I remember you
before I saw a take.
Yeah.
But she was already talking about you.
Oh my God.
There was someone on set
not a joke.
No.
I remember I was just sitting with background people and we were just hanging out in that little pop-up space. Mm. And I saw Paul walk in and I was like, wow, that's Paul W. Downs. And I
we love.
And he like looked at me and smiled and I was like, oh. And like and he seems like such a nice person. Mm-hmm. And then right after I wrapped, I was so this person, I went up to Lucia was sitting with Alana, just at Video Village, and I went up to them. I was like, "Before I go, Lucia, I just have to tell you, I fucking love Real Housewives of South Boston." Or I decided I love Polly Lou. I love Real Housewives of South Boston. And then you said, or you said, thanks a lot, or something. Like you went into the accent, and it was like a lovely moment.
Oh wow,
she dropped in.
And
she
that was the point. Okay. That was the point of Arge.
That was the point of Arge.
Absolutely.
And wow, I mean, that
you
was
came my, back from set glowing that day.
I was so happy.
Yeah.
And then I went to Rice to Riches to reward myself.
Oof, like, love Rice to Riches.
Love.
What is?
Oh, you've been.
No. Come on,
it's the rice pudding place
in Soho.
I'm not
on
a
Spring.
Rice pudding. Person.
You don't have to be.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Rice to Riches is transcends rice pudding.
But you know the lore of Rice to Riches, right?
No.
No.
Uh-oh.
The lore is this.
Is that a pile
of
magic? No.
Okay, well, okay. Yeah, a bit. I believe it's the 90s when it first opened. It was opened as a mob front.
Oh, yes, I did hear this.
Yes. What?
A lot like laundering money. Thing.
Laundering money. Right, but then the rice pudding was too damn good.
And the city was like, it will not go away.
Well, it was making too much money. It wasn't working as a front.
Wow.
Because the rice pudding was so good.
It is so good.
That's and so, amazing.
But doesn't that help the laundering scheme?
You would think.
Right.
I think it doesn't.
I never watched Breaking Bad. Just kidding.
This is literally the plot of Small Time Crooks.
Yeah, exactly.
And that Woody Allen movie with Tracy Ullman.
Wow, I thought you meant the network show.
Yeah.
You know, Bad Girls or whatever. Anyway.
Of course, yeah, right. Of course.
Of course. No, we're talking about the Woody film.
Unfortunately, we are.
Lucia, you brought us here.
Sorry.
Just kidding. Wait. Oh, so the rice pudding was literally too good?
I believe that's what happened. And I think it that they had good. To buy out the mobsters or something. And so now it's just, it exists free and clear.
That's fun. Mm-hmm. That's like a victory for food.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Food can be
food
anything.
Food can conquer all.
Food can conquer all. Food might get us out of this mess we're in.
this are you speaking in the macro?
This administration.
Oh, I believe it's still happening. Isn't this
it's
outrageous?
So crazy. I never thought we'd be here.
Yeah.
I never thought we'd be here. That's the first time that's ever been said, too. You know, one of the reasons I really like Hoppe, hot associate producer Alec, is because I came in here just now and he was watching Pete Buttigieg videos.
Hoppe's with it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You're with it.
That guy's great.
Yeah.
We met him very briefly once.
You did?
Wait, where?
Oh, I thought you meant Hoppe.
No, we met
that guy's great too.
I was like, we just met him. He is great.
He's great.
He's great.
So far, so good.
It was like at a backstage of, I mean, I don't need to, but
don't,
you know.
No.
You can say it. You've met you want to judge.
Backstage at Larry King, honey.
Oh, great!
Ms. King.
Doesn't age well.
No. You know what doesn't age well? Well, just that reference because it is Charlie Rose.
I meant Charlie Rose. I think
Larry King does age well.
Larry King.
Oh, Charlie.
He
Rose
looks great and he's sharp as hell.
Can I take that back?
He actually doesn't age at all. I feel like he's been 100 for about 40 years.
He's been, you know.
Yeah, he's constantly like in that like kind of like what's the boss from The Simpsons?
Oh,
Smithers.
Smithers.
Not Smithers. Smithers is the
The assistant. Yeah,
God, Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns.
Sorry.
Oh.
He's like a Mr. Burns, like eternally ancient.
Yes.
Yeah.
But always with it.
That's the thing. He can never look worse, you know? So he looks
never
great.
Look worse.
He
exactly.
Great. He's really,
yeah. He like set his image at like 80 and they were like, this is like chic for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
yeah.
They've preserved him.
Mm-hmm.
Pickled him.
Yes.
Which we love.
which we love. Oh my God. We really were just on a fun Polylou little kick or little viewing party marathon. Mm-hmm.
You guys were like, that was like so above average. Like that mm-hmm. was like the early days of above average. Mm-hmm. I was also a channel partner, but like they didn't make our videos. but they seemed to make a lot of yours. And I was like, well, that's because they're really fucking good.
Yeah. Thanks. That was a fun time.
It really was. It was like we had just moved to LA. Mm-hmm. And we just got to make stuff, and this all, and we're actually like now trying to get back to that place of just being able to be like, here's a fun, dumb idea. We want to just go make it, and it doesn't have stakes, and it's just for us. And mm-hmm. it was a really, it was fun. And, you know, actually, I think Alana produced some of those Real Housewives because she was staying with us at the time, pitching Broad City, sleeping on our couch.
And truly, so like holding a boom. Oh,
wow.
And like being like, okay, she was ADing as well. Like it was very. Wow. But it was a really fun time to be.
She's worn every hat on set.
It's true.
Yeah, that's there you cool. go. See, I believe that too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right.
That is a thing, though. It's like as your careers like start to get bigger and like things get more, you kind of do, you lose the opportunity to just do whatever the fuck.
Yes.
And that's right. Then you kind of are like, oh, I missed that time. Mm-hmm. But also at that time you were fully, like, I was waiting tables and like miserable. Like, how am I going to like find my next check? Yeah, but also you did have freedom to do kind of whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Oh. And I think it makes you braver too. Because you're like, there's less eyeballs. It's like whatever. Yeah. You know? Well, I missed that time for that.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Will it like loop back around to that? Kind of weird. No, it wasn't weird. It was like a great time of just like all this stuff sort of whatever was the
best. I don't know. I always think to myself, like, are people that are super successful, are they actually able to do whatever they want? Like, but no.
I don't think so.
No.
Well, I think it depends because sometimes you look at, I don't know, sometimes, and this hasn't happened now for years, but I remember I used to watch like Ben Stiller at the Oscars and I was like, no, he didn't ask anybody.
Yeah, no.
He's just doing this thing. And I'm passing no judgment, good or bad. I'm just like, he's doing whatever he wants, you know?
Yeah.
So right. I think sometimes you get permission.
That's true.
But I don't know.
But you got to be stiller.
Yeah.
You got to be stiller.
You got to unfortunately be stiller.
Well, I mean, one of like the, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the prevailing narrative of Broad City, especially when it first started out, was that it was like, and especially the writer's room was just like, pretty like it was just like self-taught. It was these people who like came together and they were just like, we'll figure this out together.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being this thing that like broke open all these it just like was so new and so cool. And like that was what ended up sort of giving it its identity. Mm-hmm. And like
Chris was saying the other day that it was a lot of like stories from your life about like being in New York and being young and like
all of them.
Yeah. Every single thing
happened to either one of us or somebody we know or something that like happened to all of us you know and that kind of made it feel like this is our story, it has to be other people's story and they'll get it
and it was true of the in the room too. People would be like, oh, I got locked out in this, and they're like, I got locked out in this, I got locked out in this, so everyone had those 20s Bobo stories, so I do think that's why people were like, oh yeah, that is New York, because it really was.
It's like a surreal, like that scene, was it? Did she take some sort of like drug and then she's like having like a full day and she sees that like, this is season one,
This is two.
Two?
She sees Bingo Bronson.
Yes. Yeah.
Abby.
You know, I voice Bingo Bronson.
That's him. That is you.
Manuka honey.
Yeah, that's Bingo.
Okay, that like really struck to me just like having one cold brew.
Yeah.
I was like, that's me. That's me with a little bit of caffeine. Yeah, like I'm seeing like mystical creatures like, and I'm in Gowanus.
Yes. And you have painted on eyebrows.
Yeah. For some reason, but like,
and actually, that from that episode, that crack thing that Ilana cooks.
Yeah,
she cooked once for Lucia.
Yeah, she made me.
We had to work one, so she ate it.
Yes,
was like, I'm so high. Went to bed. We woke up the next day to go shoot something.
Well, I'm going to back you up even a little more.
Go for it.
We actually did. So I ate it, and then I was going to go watch Paul do a show at Gentrify.
Oh my god!
Wow.
Remember? Oh wow! Yeah.
And so, but I was so absolutely out of my mind because she what she actually had me do was actually eat. Weed, like actual weed that she baked into it, but like you're just eating weed.
But she has a name for it. What was the name for it?
I should know it.
But it's
denser than edibles, though. Like,
yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, those things can get crazy.
She was laughing to the point of tears,
bawling,
but also
crying.
Things would happen. I forget what you did. Something happened,
and there was this moment of silence, and I was like, "What?"
Yeah, she was like
from the crowd.
She was out of it. I had to like leave early. Yes. Took her home. She went to bed, and then she woke up the next day.
And we
just as high.
We were making a short. And I was like, I had been like for like a year being like, Paul, I want to be in front of the camera too.
Yeah.
And so finally he's like, okay, let's do it. And so we'd written a short that I was going to be in. And I woke up the next morning to be in that short.
No.
So high.
Yeah. And she woke up and she said, oh no, I'm still so high from the thing that she serves Abby in that episode that causes the Bingo Bronson.
And then you had that experience.
Yes.
You cannot just fuck around with edibles.
No.
I swear to God, one time I had an edible that was like cooked by someone at work. And like it was like a brownie, and I thought, it's like Alex, who cares? Yeah. And I ate it, and I remember I ate it at work. I worked at Brooklyn Crab in Red Hook, and we went to this restaurant, like probably in Gowanus. And I remember I like sat down, had ordered food, took one sip of my red wine, and was like, oh, I have to leave right now or I'll die.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember I left, like, and I lived pretty close around there. I somehow made it to my apartment. I remember thinking like 7 or 8 times, I have to lay face down on the street right now. Like, I finally get there, laid in my bed, but I realized I didn't want to lay. It's like the kind of high where you're like, you don't know whether you want music on, not lay down, stand up, walk around. What happened in The Wizard of Oz with the tornado, and it felt like a giant picked up my bedroom and threw it. And I was projectile vomiting, and this is an edible? This is marijuana?
No.
Yeah.
Oof.
Alex.
Yikes.
Alex. And now he's the GM of that place.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Does he hook you up when you swing by?
Mm-mm. We have a toxic relationship.
Oh.
Okay. Oh. Sorry, we went
there. Can barely go there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
This is at BC?
This is at Brooklyn Crab.
This is at Brooklyn
Crab. I love the institution.
We love Brooklyn Crab.
But it's that thing of like, well, we were both servers together, and he did this shitty thing one time where like, it was like, almost 10 p.m. and the restaurant was closing, and like at 9:50 p.m. a table walked in and he said to the hostess, don't give me that table. And she was scared of him, so she gave it to someone else. And I was like, you're a piece of shit. I was like, that sucks. Like, I fully got in his face and was like, you suck to work with. You're not like this is really like, that was fucked up what you did, and I see it, and like, I'm not afraid of you. And then he became GM.
Wow. Social justice. Okay.
That's
standing up.
And that's why you just keep your mouth shut at your restaurant job.
Oh, yeah. Because
it's just a job.
Yeah.
But I always got like very involved socially at my restaurant jobs.
Really?
And my service jobs. I don't know why.
I think everybody does. I mean, for me, that happened. Like everybody right after we would end, especially if it was a weekend, would immediately go and spend half the money they just made on drinks.
Yep.
Then it'd be like this weird little circle of like who was going to hook up with who. Yep. It was rough.
It became a community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you wait tables?
Oh, yeah.
I did, too.
You did, too?
I waited at Tavern on the Green.
Wow.
And One Central Park South in the Plaza Hotel,
where
you don't get tips because it's all, like, tourists. You know, it's, like, European tourists. And so I did not make money. I thought I would make a ton there, and I made nothing.
Oh, gee.
Wow. No, those, like, nice restaurants, often they're traps.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
For the people working in them.
Yeah. You think it's going to be, it's going to be great tips, and it's really not.
Oh, no. God. How long did you work there?
I worked there for a summer, and then I worked at Tavern for a summer, and it was like 100 degrees in New York in the summer, and you have to wear like a tuxedo in the outdoors. Mm-hmm. So I one day at the end of my shift walked off with a tuxedo, never went back. I was like, I can't. Yeah.
Wow. But you kept the duds.
I did. I have like a mint green, very short tuxedo jacket.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love
anybody wants to borrow it.
I think it could be cute.
I should wear it to something. Right?
You really should. And also I remember justifying having like bizarre clothes because like when you're in sketch comedy, it's a prop.
Please. Yes. The amount of bizarre props we have.
Yeah.
Do you know that we have a storage container in Hollywood?
Storage unit.
Oh, great.
Yeah, unit.
Amazing. Wait.
Wow.
Like, give us a little walkthrough.
Well, it had to be air conditioned because of the wigs.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want the wigs melting or getting flat. So air conditioned.
It's actually rule of culture number 93. Take care of your wigs.
Truly.
Yeah. Truly. How do you individually contain them? Because Cole does the donut boxes, the Edmonds cakes boxes.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's good.
He's serious about
his wigs. Well, he has like very expensive wigs.
Yeah, his are more expensive than ours.
Yeah, yeah. Ours are like.
Ours are container store plastic case.
Yeah, like Tupperware, you know. They're kind of just in there. But they're in like a little bag.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We try.
Yeah. You know, in case we have to go back to sketch.
Right, of course.
Have to get to.
I also have a huge bin and I refuse to get rid of it for that reason. I think I have like a few bags of like mint green tuxedos and like wigs that I'll never use, but I won't give them away.
Yeah. I have three prop guns just in a closet.
Yeah, just guns.
That's
everywhere.
Problematic.
Yeah. Thank you. Did you ever like travel to sketch festivals and like one, like of course every sketch in like 2009 to 2013 had guns in them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was doing my second solo show, sad mm-hmm. sentence. My second solo show at UCB. And
was that Full Blown Downs?
Full Blown Downs, yeah, yes, blown thank downs. You. And I had a suitcase full of props, which included a gun, mm-hmm. a soft dildo, a baby doll, mm-hmm. all kinds of things. Like very, blind very, stuff. Very, because the baby, you wanted it to look like a real baby, so it was very, I got it in Gowanus.
Anatomically correct. So yes. It was.
I got it in Gowanus and it was scary. Like, it was for, you know, I don't even know who buys these things.
Yeah,
it's for like detailed, sad people who don't have babies and they want like a real
they want a baby.
And we did the show. Such a smash hit, such a huge success that we went out afterward.
Celebrate.
We had some food at our favorite restaurant, now closed. And when we got back to the place we were staying, I realized I left that suitcase with everything in the cab.
Oh, no.
And we had a show. I had a show in LA.
I appreciate the we.
Yes.
We had a show.
We had a show. We had to come back to LA to do it in LA. Mm-hmm. So I had to track down, I got the receipt. I Googled till I found a PDF of a spreadsheet.
Of taxi medallions.
Of like taxi medallions. Found this person's name and number. Called his home. Whatever, his home. Called his home. I had to go through three people until somebody who spoke English was like, oh, you're looking for my uncle.
Yes.
He dropped your suitcase in Williamsburg at the police station. Or in Greenpoint. I went there. Oh. And when I went there, they were like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They went back and they had everything in evidence bags because it was like weird ass like shit. Dildos and
totally
baby dolls.
True. Yeah. Totally true story.
And I was like, okay, this is only half of it. Where's the rest? I need my wigs and I need my and I need my MTV Europe t-shirt. Sir. And they were like, the rest of it was sent to evidence holding in Queens. This was the most insane.
We had to go to Queens. We went to an evidence like storage locker.
Which they were closing because by the time we got there, it took hours to get there.
It was really hard. But you got mostly all of it back.
I got almost all of it back.
What, do you remember what was missing? Like what you didn't get back?
I think it was some Yevgeny and Yevskaya stuff.
I think it was. Yeah. Oh, I had an MTV VJ. MTV Europe.
I remember.
Right, yes.
Remember. No, I remember.
I think wigs might, it'll round the corner again. It'll come full circle.
It'll come back.
It's like fascism. Yeah. It'll be like so in style and popular. Like, and whatever. Yeah. Anyway, that was sad.
Whenever Bowen is like stressed out at work, I'm like, well, just remember, it's wigs. Like
that's good. Oh, that's good.
But that's even so reductive because Jody's
Emmy Award winning. Cut that part out. We love Jody.
We were silent.
We love Jody.
Okay, so listen. Here on Las Culturistas, we do ask a question of our guests, that question gets asked each and every episode, and it is a special question. It is, what is the culture that made you say culture is for you? So this is the pop culture or formative culture in your life that you feel, looking back, you were like, okay, that's why I am this.
Ready?
Wow.
Let's go to Lucia first.
Road Rules.
Whoa. Okay, so.
Road Rules and not Real World?
Yes.
Wow. Why not? Why not Real World?
Okay. Real World, great. Love it.
Yeah.
It got me in.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that. Thank you.
Yes.
But Road Rules showed me the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the real world was only showing you the continental U.S.
That's exactly right.
100%. Wow.
Well, until it went to London, and then we were opening the world, but still, we're still closed.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Now,
yes.
Road Rules showed me, it showed me anything I'd never been to, you know, Tucson, Arizona. I'd never been to the Caribbean. Okay. I had never been to these places.
The world.
Well, because it expanded. Those are the two places.
First,
I think.
First Tucson, then the world.
And so I really felt like I was able to see the world through the eyes of people who were older than me, but not dramatically older than me. Mm-hmm. And they were like fumbling and dumb and like falling in love and doing stupid things and getting drunk and making out in hot tubs, which was like, sounds good.
And they were hot.
But they were all hot, beautiful people. Yes. But they were also, I don't know, I felt like showing me the world in a way that felt like documentary without being boring.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Yeah. And I became obsessed with Road Rules. Mm-hmm. And I would like, where I grew up, Western Massachusetts has a lot of colleges. Mm-hmm. And so this was really at the height of road rules, which was when I was like in, you know, middle school and high school.
Yeah.
Mm. And so a lot of the people from road rules would do speaking tours afterwards.
Oh, wow. Would they go like UMass?
Yes, exactly. UMass Amherst Smith College.
What were their speeches in Hampshire. About? What are they lecture
they
about?
They would talk about, it depends on who they were. Right. Like, you know, some people would talk about drinking problems or anorexia. LGBTQ okay, or yeah, anorexia, okay, whatever it was, their specific, okay, like the way they got in.
Their
was
narrative. Kind
of, their cause. Their narrative was then what they would continue to talk about, but in a way that actually was cool. And I would go and like watch them and sometimes like, you know, talk to them afterwards if I could or whatever.
Yeah. So it became this like Socratic thing for you where you like really like
I was going to say the same thing.
Yes.
I was going to say it became a Socratic thing.
And Plato,
and you know,
bury that.
If we want to take it a step further,
yes, and we do.
Do you?
Well, we do.
Okay. I want to take this to the last step.
Well, I don't know about the last step, but the next step was that when I went to college, I kind of thought what I was going to do with my life was try to create something that was in the realm of road rules and that it would kind of explore youth culture around the world because I was fascinated by it. Yes. And I wasn't exactly somebody who, like never left my town. Like I traveled a fair amount, but not as extensively, I guess, as I would have liked to. And so I really thought I was going to end up doing something that was, I guess it turned out to be Vice. So they got me there.
Mm,
but,
yeah.
but I really was really excited about that. And that's like kind of what I thought I was going to do.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it wasn't exactly like comedy or directing or performing or anything, obviously, which I got to later.
Yeah.
But that is really actually what I thought I was going to do with my life. And it was kind of inspired by my love of road rules.
Wow. Yeah.
They also like road rules and also real world. What I appreciate about them is they also expose like a lot of LGBTQ people before anyone else. Like, of course, there's like famously and iconically Pedro. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was also like an important like step in the AIDS story, I think.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. But also they're every season. And I'd be actually curious to watch it again now because I want to know how much of a straight gaze we're seeing it through and how much it holds up. But just like the representation period of, and I guess like famously, I Karamo too. Now on Queer Eye, he was on Real World.
Oh, he was?
Yes.
Yeah. And I didn't know that. I remember
the narrative around him in his season of The Real World was like, what do you mean this like straight seeming black guy is gay?
Right.
And that's like, I'd be interested to see it now, but I remember like the two straight like white meatheads were like, what?
Yeah.
But, but it was like, I guess important for many people like those two dudes to see someone like this. And that is, I guess, what I really liked about those shows in the beginning. And then it felt kind of like, oh, are you just like putting a bunch of different people together that you know are going to fight because that's ratings? But it was important there for
it
a while.
It was. Las Vegas was a turning point.
Las Vegas was a turn. It's actually Real Culture number 103. Las Vegas was a turning point.
But prior to that, and that was the Trisha season.
Trishelle season.
But prior to that, it was actually just a bunch of interesting people who were figuring it out, and they were like weird types. And then after that, it just became
Well, season one was like indie film of Real World, right?
It really was.
And then it became like, don't they have like exes come in now?
Yeah,
that, like, was that was some.
There's like now gimmicks
recently.
To make them like physically fight each other.
Exactly.
It's become much more gladiator. Yes. Now.
It's like we found a racist and someone black.
Right.
And we're gonna put them in a house and see what happens.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Like, it's very crazy. But road rules and bikes. That was it. Did add that travel element. And you like it is like for me growing up. Like I similar. Like my world was pretty small. I would imagine you stayed in Western Massachusetts a lot. Because I was on Long Island like all the time. Mm. We never went to anywhere except Orlando. But seeing the world was like, wow, that's kind of interesting that there's a whole big world out there. And then the challenge too.
The challenge.
Did you watch the challenge?
I did. I was a little less into the challenge, but of course I watched it.
But you watched
what
the
am
challenge.
I kidding?
Like if I say The Miz, we're speaking the language.
The Miz is like a comedian, famous comedian now.
I think so.
What?
Right?
I think but like has a website that's like
just has a website.
His website
like,
is good at that.
His website is themizcomedy.com and so
he's
a thriving comedian.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, look
the
it
Miz,
up,
please.
Oh my god, that's a good one.
I never watched any of
Road Rules. Things. Well, you didn't have cable,
but but like
you didn't have cable.
No, he's a wrestler. He's
didn't
a wrestler.
But I had a general awareness of these things. But like, the only thing I have to add to this conversation is that there was such a cultural locus of a moment when people making out in hot tubs was like the coolest thing that you could possibly see on TV.
I mean, that was Trishelle.
Oh.
That was Trishelle and Steven.
Yes.
And that was, remember there was like a pregnancy scare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a good one. That was a good season.
I auditioned
season.
For that season.
You what? Did not.
Yes.
You sent
and I think
tapes?
Chris Kelly also, it turns out, also auditioned for that season.
Wait.
So Chris what? Kelly was almost the gay on a season of Real
Could you imagine
World?
If they met there?
You made,
oh yeah, my that's actually God. My.
Could you imagine?
You guys would have been the best friends.
Of course, that would have been my, yeah, that's my origin story.
Oh, they would have broken season one of the other two years
yeah,
ago.
Years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get that far. I did it in person.
Wow.
Yes, I did Whoa. It in person. I didn't get very far, but my... thing I had like my whole because I you know was well versed in this
yes
and so I came in with like here's my point here's my what makes me unique
Wait,
you know
how old,
here's
my unique how old you were?
I think I just turned 18
okay cool
oh young
yes and soon the moment that struck the clock struck I was ready absolutely
wow. yeah
I was like okay I mean I don't need to get into my whole story but I dropped out of high school uh-huh. and got my GED uh-huh. but then I was a freshman I was my first year at Columbia, uh-huh. I transferred in, I played tennis, but I was also like, but I'm also a virgin. Like
yeah.
I had all these things I was going, I was like,
smart virgin, great.
Yeah.
Like I was like, you just don't know with me.
Yeah.
And that was kind of my
that
thing.
Is good. That's
and
a good
I didn't get very far.
Wow. Damn it.
You know, when I first met Lucia, honestly, maybe the first few months I knew you, mm-hmm. she auditioned to be a VJ.
And yeah, at MTV. I'd gotten kind of far on that one.
Yeah. I remember we met in
when
the day
I was
and
21,
had
22.
A drink.
Yeah.
And you were going to, yeah.
Yeah. That one I originally did send in a tape and then I got called in a bit, but they kept being like, you need to be like a little more excited mm-hmm. and a little bit more like upbeat. And I was like,
wait,
that's not what I'm serving.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I also auditioned to be a VJ
oh.
and they told me to tone it down.
Whoa.
Because oh. I was like, come on, guys. Like, it was just like, I was like, I saw, I'm my natural, like, they uh-huh. tell me this in every single audition. They're like, cool, now do it normal.
Oh,
like,
no.
That's so.
No. It's
insane.
Cool. No.
We would have been an amazing duo.
Honestly, right? That would have been good.
And what a funny duo.
That's the other two.
That's good, yin yang. That's
it
right.
Is.
That's what
that
the other good. Two should be. let's talk off mic about what the other two should be.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Okay, enough about me.
Is this VJ stuff post right after like the Simon Rex era of things?
Yeah, this was like way past Simon Rex.
This is past Simon Rex, but right around when his solo tape came out.
Yeah, this is right around like a butthole Simon Rex.
Mm. Oh.
Inspiration for a Broad City storyline.
Really?
Oh,
yes, that's right.
Yes.
Oh my God.
A fantastic arc.
Okay, can take very little credit. I can't take any really for that.
No,
except for, except for the masturbation.
But you guys, but I mean, a lot of that stuff was like, was just like Simon Rex, like on a pool float, and then they just had like Trey on a pool float.
Yeah, I was like on towels, and yeah, it was. Yeah,
I believe he was on his back in a towel.
Yes.
Yeah, he was on his back in a towel outside of the pool and like sort of like disassociating.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is sad, but I'm still here.
Yeah.
It was the Native American thing where like his soul was being taken.
Yeah.
You're
the camera was taking his soul.
Oh,
they were right about that with him.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to Paul. Paul, what was
on
the
Paul.
Music culture was for you.
Wow. I think, honestly, the thing that I used to watch that I think no one when I was like 13 watched mm-hmm. was Absolutely Fabulous.
Wow.
I used to watch it when I was a kid. That was my thing.
What was it about it? Was it just like, I think this is funny and I don't know why?
Yes. I think the specific thing was I was like, I don't get it. I love it. You know, and the audience was so into it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. even just in the translation of the language, I was like, what are they talking about?
Right.
But I knew I liked the energy and I knew I liked it. And I was like, I wanted to be in.
Yeah.
And you know, there are certain things that you get.
Of course.
You get like Safi. You get, you know, you get Safi and Patsy. You get their dynamic.
Yeah,
so
it's clear.
I wasn't like, you know,
yeah,
fully out. I got some of it. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, I understood. But
yeah,
I think that was it.
Yeah. There are those things like that, like, it's like you want to hear it, but you don't know why or watch it. I say here because mine was I would listen to Margaret Cho stand-up albums
yes,
without
yep.
understanding a single joke.
Yes.
But I knew that it was for me.
Yeah.
I was like, I know this joke about like
fucking
butt sex is for me, even though I don't know yet
right.
what butt sex is.
Yeah.
You know, I just was like, it's those things that you connect to and you're like, why? And I do you think a little, how did you hear about AbFab?
Well, it was on Comedy Central.
Oh.
And I used to watch Comedy Central and I would watch like Premium Roast or whatever the stand up half hours were. And I mean, back then it was like Paula Poundstone. And it was just like, I feel like Comedy Central was very weird. And I watched that a lot. I watched Channel 32, you know, and AbFab was one of the things that they played.
Yeah.
So I think it was also like way after probably it was ever on in the UK, you know,
yeah,
because then they would do marathons. Yeah. They would have marathons of a weekend. It was right. just that.
Right.
So I think it was like the first thing I binged ever.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. Binging has been happening for a long time because that was a thing like on like MTV VH1 where like, there'd be whole weekends where just Top Model would be on the
yeah,
whole
yeah.
time.
Yeah,
it was just yeah,
like that was like, that was like, right. does that
or
still
SVU,
happen?
Like I remember yes. Law and Order SVU marathons.
Oh yeah. yeah, and you could just plant.
And then
watch
you would.
It.
I can watch all of that.
Yeah. yeah. No, because yeah. it's easy. Yeah. And that there is like an argument for like that quote unquote easy television to watch. Like everyone's like, oh, like this is like easy to write or whatever. But it's like, no, that's fun. And good.
It's still television.
Like, that's procedural. It's, you know, the procedure.
Yeah.
And also a sitcom, a situation comedy. We know the situation. It's clear. We can see it. This is actually, I'm happy you're listening to this podcast, which is What is Sitcoms?
Yeah. We should let people know.
We should let people know.
Alec is leaving.
Sorry about that.
So what about this conversation so turned you off,
yeah,
Alec?
Yeah, wow, he really got mad.
Should I speak for myself?
Yeah, go speak.
I can't handle comedy.
Oh, wow. These normals.
I don't like comedy either.
So yeah. I get none that. Of us do.
Flat out, I really don't watch a lot of comedy, though.
I watch only some.
Well, we've been watching.
We have been watching lately.
Yeah.
But comedy's changing.
Comedy's changing all the time. Yeah. But Chris and Sarah came in and they were like the last thing we wanted to do when we would go home from shooting the other two or just even writing it was just
watching more comedy.
Watching more comedy and seeing the production behind it.
Yeah, the work.
Absolutely. When we were making the movie, we just watched all the Hunger Games movies.
Right.
Because we're like, how do we escape and watch something?
Yes.
Yeah. Because not like anything.
The rare times we would watch like a comedy or whatever, I'd be like, look at this coverage. Yeah. How much time did they have? I don't get that much time.
Yeah.
You know?
What I think about sometimes is like literally like whenever there's a small character, I'm like, yeah, they booked that. You know what I mean?
I think
of their audition and I think of like them being on set and I'm like, I wonder how nervous that actor is.
Yes.
Because like if I ever have a small role in anything, I'm always like, I'm here.
I think I can see
that actor kind of being like, I don't know, I just see the work.
Yeah, of course. Totally.
In a way. And also like, I wonder what take of that was. Or I wonder how they got there.
Sure. Yeah, I mean like, God, it's a curse to be working in the industry.
It's such a curse. It's such a burden. I can't enjoy things anymore.
No, but I mean, it is like, it's not this, it's not an aversion or anything. It's just a fatigue probably. For me, it's like, I go home. And what Chris and Sarah said was that they put on a Housewives and I...
Housewives or everything.
We heard theirs and
we did.
Yeah.
It was a lot of Housewives, which we don't watch. And I have to be honest. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt your
thought. No, that was my thought.
That... I have this feeling where I don't really watch Housewives. I've seen it here and there. If you say the names, I know Bethany. Yes. I know who Dorinda is, but I don't know.
You know Countess Luann.
Well, I do know.
We know the Countess.
Well, I'm a fan of her music.
I even got that. Love the music. But we don't know.
I'm not asking, I guess, for you guys to like convince me because obviously it's like I don't need to be convinced. But
why?
I just feel, I'm just trying to like, no.
Are you asking us why we like it?
No, I guess a little bit why you like it, / how does it not come off as feeling like exploitative of women who are maybe a little bit.
Yes. See, okay. I'm happy you asked that. I was very anti the Housewives.
Me too.
Like, and really? even the Kardashians, I was like, I sort of get why people like it, but the Housewives felt to me like, oh, you're just like, taking women who are like bored and potentially sad and maybe even have like alcohol issues and you're pitting them against each other. It's reductive flat out without having seen it. Like our friend Sudi like fucking loved it. But then I watched it and I was like, actually, those are not often the narratives. Like if they have an issue with alcohol, it's the friends all being like concerned they have an issue with alcohol and like, am I convincing you at all? Like,
for me,
so yes, there are the problems
I don't
that you're
to
saying.
Be convinced. I'm genuinely
just curious.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I thought of Housewives in those terms as well before I started watching, and I'm still not fully like mired in it. Like you might be, or Chris and Sarah might be, but I thought, wow, this is such a dumb show, dumb thing, and why am I interested? And these women are humorless. But then you watch it, and like. In the cut, like you see, like these little slice of life things, and then you're just like, oh, like they have these nuanced thoughts too, and they're sharing them, and they're like going about their lives, like not sure, like where their money is going to come from. It's like these are like...
I like it psychologically.
Psychologically,
because sometimes
it's
like, to see these women who are experiencing this like heightened life, mm-hmm. the way they react mm-hmm. to each other and like interact with each other, I'm like, that's so interesting that you would call her that.
And it's...
Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Or act this way.
Right, right.
And I think they are such characters.
Yes.
And they look for that, that it's like, I just haven't seen anyone like Sonia Morgan ever in my life. And mm-hmm. so I am fascinated and do think it's funny. And then it is a question though, or am I laughing at her or with her? And I think actually Chris brought this up the other day, or Sarah brought this up in the room. It's like, I don't know.
It's both. It switches yeah. off between both. And my thing is, it's a blueprint for conflict yeah. or intimacy in which, in terms of like, you're seeing people be friends in ways, in all these different ways, and you're like, I'm not going to be a friend like Dorinda is to Sonia, mm-hmm. or I am going to be a friend like Bethany is to Ramona. It's like, you see these little examples, just by example, you're like, oh, I like what's going on here, I don't like what's going on here, and I can pick and choose for myself. And then the same goes for when people get into fights, I'm like, oh, they're dealing with this horribly, or they're actually mm-hmm. dealing with this very well. And it's sort of like, it gives you a full tapestry of like experience.
I found something positive about it just now. Oh. Sometimes when I watch it, I'm more like, I'm going to tell this person that I'm thinking something because I just saw it. Like it kind of puts me in the space to be not like, it doesn't drive conflict in me, but it's like, when I see this person later, I'm going to just flat out tell them and see if they respond or how wow. they'll respond. And honestly, I think from watching that show, it has like encouraged me to say what I think and feel a little bit more.
So it inspires you to be more honest in your relationships.
Honestly, yes.
That's great. That's good.
And that's positive for me.
That is good.
There you go.
Do you feel you guys are honest in all your relationships?
I mean, yeah. No, I don't like confrontation.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm, but I do feel like, because I always used to think this when I would watch a sitcom. I'd always be like, just tell them what you did. You
exactly.
know, like, Joey, tell Chandler you drank it all.
Yeah,
you know, like,
I'd always
be like, just be honest and then you can get it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
right.
So that always used to be a bump for me with like, I love Lucy. I'd be mm-hmm. like, just tell Ricky you want the fur. You know,
we can cut this all
you
out.
Can get, you know, which I know is not.
You have such
good for
stock
comedy.
Conflicts for all of these. For I Love Lucy and Friends.
You want the fur, tell them you
drank
it
all.
Yeah, that really is how you boil down Friends.
Yeah.
And that and Gay Panic.
And Gay Panic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
But wait, boil it down for AbFab. Like, because I truly, this is bad, me bad media diet.
Me bad media diet.
Yeah, yeah.
I truly, like, besides like Jennifer Saunders, I'm like, I don't really know what else the show sort of revolves around.
So I think it's actually based on a real publicist in the UK.
Uh-huh.
And it was originally a sketch because I also then, once I found out about them, I started watching French and Saunders sketches.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Which I had to get on VHS.
Oh. And
because it's like, you know, I don't know.
It's
this
so,
is, this
like,
is, you know.
It's niche.
It's niche.
Back.
It wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
And Don French and Jennifer Saunders mm-hmm. were a comedy team and they did really funny. That stuff was easy to, because it was sketch, it was easy to, you know, relate to. It was very accessible no matter what.
Yes.
Right.
Whereas AbFab was like weird, like rich, posh, English, Holland Park references. And you were like, you know, it was very hard to access as a, you know, a 13-year-old kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's this woman who's like single mom, mm-hmm. doesn't want to be a mom, loves to drink, has a best friend. It's kind of like Broad City. It's like two women who are best friends and like get into trouble all the time and should not be parents and should not be mothers.
Yes.
Only one is the mother, right?
Yeah, just Jennifer Saunders is the mother to Safi, who's like a very type A buttoned up daughter.
The daughter's like the mom.
Who's always looking down on her and her best friend, Patsy, who get drunk and do drugs and go crazy and
mm-hmm.
live
a
life
of
excess. They do tons of drugs.
Oh.
They do cocaine. Okay. They're constantly drunk. I think Patsy smokes and falls asleep wasted and burns down the house in one episode, you know?
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Did that answer the question?
Yes.
I don't know.
That's the dynamic
of the show is two best friends who are get into a lot of trouble.
Get into a lot of trouble and does share DNA with Brad Pitt.
I also think it's a thing of like big, broad characters, which mm-hmm. I think we all kind of saw like growing up. Like, for example, Austin Powers.
Mm. Yeah.
I fucking lived for Austin
Powers. Yeah.
I loved how broad it was.
Yeah.
I loved how all the characters were like stupid and big. And even Ron Burgundy, I loved that shit.
Yeah.
And now I feel like, do they do that anymore?
No.
No.
They
Miranda
don't do that.
Sings
no.
did it.
Miranda
oh, yeah,
Sings.
Miranda
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that would then break through in like a mainstream
but
way
still
where
was
everyone
a niche
was
show.
Like, yeah,
it
niche,
was a niche
show.
Yeah.
Right.
So I feel like now, even the stuff that I respond to, like, I love, like, Summer Heights High.
Oh, I mean, I almost said that, but I was like, I don't think that's what you're looking for, but Summer Heights High was
huge.
Summer Heights High, and most recently Pen 15 is Summer Heights High for me now. And I'm like, these are the things that are they're because the performances are so anthropological and subtle and good. Yeah. It's so real, even though the stakes are crazy heightened and it's insanely broad. It's insanely broad for two adult women to play children, or for Mr. G, or for Jemai to be like a 35-year-old man who's playing like a girl who's dating a 7-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Those scenes when he's like breaking up with her like 7th grade boyfriend.
Yes.
I'm like, because you forget they disappear into those characters.
Right.
So
100%. even in Angry Boys, just him playing that, just the fucking Japanese lady. Like, I didn't find
forcing her son to be gay.
To be gay, even though he was straight.
I never had a problem with him doing anything. It always felt so honest.
Honestly,
and that is, of course, my place to say.
Yeah. Honestly, and like, this is just me, like, did not fully hate him playing an Asian woman. I was like, but this is funny.
Also, your favorite sketch character ever is, of course,
Miss Swan. Well, not ever. Yeah. I don't know about that. I've defended her on a couple of things.
Oh, wow.
That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. And it was whatever. We don't have to get into this. But yeah,
I missed that. Yeah, I missed that. Too. Like, because it really doesn't happen that much.
Sure. It might come back.
I think it will.
Wigs?
Yeah, it might. Mm. Yeah.
I think right now we're in this moment of important. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like everything on TV, like, if it's not like sort of, you know, this is why I loved Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I loved the big characters, and I loved joke.
Yes.
I
just
really like that. It feels like you get that, and that's like out there. And this is why I love the other two, actually, is it feels like a combination of these two things. It's like heavy jokes in the script meets interesting characters with a point of view we haven't seen.
Yes.
And the supporting characters are big and fun like that.
Yeah.
But it feels like a combination between that sort of Tina Fey type sensibility of there's jokes everywhere, and also this sort of girls insecure type thing where it's like, it's a comedy because someone smiles every now and then.
Right, which is
something Chris said the other day, which I thought was funny. But it's a fusion of that. I think that is what I'm looking for in television.
Yes. Totally.
Which I think Pen 15 also has.
Very much.
But yes, the other two for sure is hard comedy.
Yeah.
But also has that seriousness and groundedness and heart.
And like, I don't know if you two would ever just like cop to this, but like, I feel like Pen 15 exists probably because Broad City exists. I would say like
Broad City changed a lot.
It changed so much. And like, thank God it did. And like Pen 15, like, I'm just like, I'm like, I don't know. I'm not saying like it needed one thing in order to exist or like be this thing, but it's like it evolved out of this model, this mental model for people to be like, oh, well, this succeeded in some iteration before, and so let's do it, and thank God. And now it's like, and Pen 15 is honestly this show that like is totally not concerned with prestige. Same goes for Broad City, of course, but it's like, it's not, it's just about the jokes and the situations and the characters and the relationships.
Yeah.
Like, that is what, I don't know, is that fair to say?
Well, thanks. Yeah.
That's
cool.
I mean, I think we all stand on the shoulders of giants.
Yes. Wow.
You know?
Wow. Yes.
But, you know, there's stuff that I think we watch that make us feel like that's, you know, like, if it wasn't for Strangers with Candy, you know, like, would we even be able to make something that, that was that hard comedy?
And
I don't know.
I think that's true. I think, you know, there is like this zeitgeist evolution that of things that bleed into each other. But I think more than anything, what I respond to when I watch Pen 15 is something that I think is almost subconscious, and it was true of Broad City Season 1, which was what you guys were talking about before, which is, it was a lot of kids without a teacher in the classroom making things up. And I think Season 1, certainly, of Broad City, and I don't know about Pen 15, but we had probably the least amount of notes we ever had, because it was like, well, maybe it'll work. Go for it. Try your thing. We, you know, no one really knew. And so there wasn't a lot of cooks in the kitchen, and there wasn't a lot of like
Oversight?
Network meddling. You know what I mean? There was just like, go try this thing.
Yeah.
And when it works, then there are more eyeballs on it and there's more consideration and it becomes a different thing.
Sure.
But Pen 15 does feel to me like they're doing something that tickles them, and it's very, very distinct and specific.
Yeah.
And the point of view is like their own. And I don't know, you can feel that there's no adults, you know? It just feels like
100%.
It just feels so fun.
That's great.
And that's the thing too, is like when you see the work because you do that work, you can also kind of see when something's been watered down.
Absolutely.
Sure. I mean, and that sucks, and I think now being aware of that, I go easier on like the creators of that thing because I'm like, well, that wasn't their fault. You know
well,
what
that's
I mean?
The thing. I feel like edges can be rounded off so much because especially the more money that's invested in something, the more people are like, let's make sure it works and it's good. Mm-hmm. And I think intention is always right. You know, we always look for the note behind the note when we hear a note. But it's like
when it has that much money, people become risk averse and they have to protect their thing to an extent. And that means that, unfortunately, I think a lot of the best stuff is risky.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so it's like, are you going to either invest very little or a lot or whatever? But no matter what it is, just make it a risk.
Oh, right.
I think it's more interesting.
Absolutely.
It might fail.
And I think in some ways, the fact that there's so many more platforms and there's so many more offerings, you can still be risky.
Yeah.
Right.
And we've talked about this with Chris and Sarah. It's also harder to like break through because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
It's like, and if also you're on Netflix. Trump's on the news constantly. So it's like, there's no think pieces about television anymore because it's all Trump. Yeah. But
I think Trump, the fact that Trump is everywhere might lead us towards what we were saying. Like that kind of like idea of just, I don't, not more broad, because broad isn't necessarily better, but like bigger, sillier comedy.
Yeah.
Or like just like things that exist because they want to exist in a way and not like things that are trying to say something all the time.
Yeah, I think I think potentially there could be a rise of rom-coms because it's like fantasy. I think we're looking for an escape.
Yeah.
Truly, Notting Hill was on and we like didn't stop watching it.
Yes.
And it's not like we hadn't seen it, but it's like, you just want that right now.
I'm
like,
I just want that. Yes.
I want people who make mistakes, fumble through, and then do the right thing. You know, and then they're together.
I love romantic comedies. I miss them. I loved Isn't It Romantic.
Oh, it was fun.
Oh, it was great.
It was so fun.
Really fun.
I stayed up till 3 a.m. watching fucking When Harry Met Sally, and I was like, this is so nice.
Wow. Right? You are the third person who's told me that in the last 2 weeks. When Harry Met Sally is having like a moment.
I'm just like reading a bunch of Nora Ephron stuff. I'm just reading her old books, and I'm like,
one of the giants.
She fucking
one of the giants.
God, how good was Meg Ryan?
So
I mean, still, she is so good. But you see her, and I'm also like, are there people like Meg Ryan? Yes, I'm sure there are. But I'm like, wow, she was just so good and did so. We watched Baby Boom recently, and that's another one that you're like, oh, of course, Diane Keaton is Diane Keaton.
Hats,
gloves, and shoes. You know this. She's Diane Keaton. But when you watch her in something like that, you're like, she did so much with in a scene where there's no dialogue. You're like, oh my God, how funny and good.
And that's another thing about noticing the work is you can also notice when the work is really fucking good.
Yes.
It comes really easily to someone. Yes. Like Meg Ryan, just like, that is someone you could take for granted because she makes it look so easy. Like Meg Ryan in her prime, like in When Harry Met Sally, you can't just learn how to be that charming.
No.
You know, that's a movie star.
Yeah. Yes.
And she literally did not have any acting training. Just came out of journalism school and was like, I guess I'll try.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was like, I'll audition for commercials. What? This is how I make money. She was in a burger commercial and then like people were like, who's that? Let's make her a star.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
And then she like had it from the beginning. Isn't that crazy?
You ever seen French Kiss?
No, this is one that I have to see. I hear nothing but amazing things
French
about
Kiss.
French
is so
Kiss.
Good.
Okay, what is it? What is it?
So, and some people think it's broad because Kevin Kline is in it and he's playing French, but I'm like, that's great. Give me Kevin Kline playing French.
Give me a French accent.
Here's the premise. She's afraid of flying. Her fiance goes to Paris, meets a woman and breaks it off.
Okay.
So she gets on a plane with someone who is this like French cad, tramp,
Kevin?
Smuggler.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Smuggler.
And because of a little mix up with their bags, an intentional mix up, they become kind of like a duo as she tries to get back her fiance. And he helps sort of navigate. It is so good.
And let me guess.
You can't. You really can't.
You can't.
I love that. Yeah. Oh,
I miss that. Like, I miss Meg Ryan, Julia Roberts, Sandra Bullock in those types of movies. Not that they shouldn't do whatever they want, but like...
But yeah.
I do. Mm-hmm. Like, I need that scene of someone telling someone what they mean to them in a high stakes environment with people watching.
Yes.
Like that scene at the end of The Proposal.
Yes.
When Ryan Reynolds comes in and there's actually a really bad continuity error in that scene, which I see every single time. Like her
the
hair.
The curse of being in the industry.
Her hair is fully styled differently.
No.
In one scene to the next.
It might be a reshoot. You never know.
Some hair person is so upset right now.
I know.
It might be a reshoot. If it's at the end, maybe it is a reshoot.
Yeah. It might have been, to be honest.
There you go. Wow.
She's like, what are you doing here? It cuts to him and then it cuts back to her and she's like got a full spray tan.
Oh
like,
my God.
No, not
you know
that,
what's
but
so
her
funny?
Hair is so different.
This is like a drop, but I'm going to do it. We did some reshoots for Rough Night and we did a screening and one of our characters had cut her all of her hair off, so she was wearing a wig for a couple of the shots, but it was such a good and expensive wig, you could not tell.
Yeah.
Unless you're RuPaul. And
RuPaul,
he was at the screening.
Early screening.
And he was like, the one scene, Jillian's in a wig. And we were like, yep. And he's like, it's good.
Oh my god.
But we were like, oh my god.
He cracked it, but then he complimented it.
He did say it was good. He said, no one else will notice but me. But I just want to make sure. He's like, I was pretty sure.
Angel on Earth, I'll say that.
What scene is the wig? What scene is the wig?
They're eating pizza, deciding what to do pretty soon after the death.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Right. And there's just one little line we needed to bridge a cut.
Is she wearing a wig at the wedding at the end? I think she might be.
Yes, and at the very end. Yeah, but those are mostly wide shots. Wow. So we got away with
I've noticed that wigs happen a lot in those ending scenes. Like in Legally Blonde, like at the end of the movie, Reese Witherspoon is in this like egregious wig.
Oh, the graduation.
Do you know what I'm talking about? At the graduation scene, she tucks and.
Like, is it, does this in the front?
It's this insane middle part. That's a different color than what she's just had. And it's just like, the way she's lit, she looks so different and it's just so funny.
Yeah.
But it is like egregious.
Yeah. I think, God, I just love that movie. I really do.
Legally Blonde? Which one?
Rough Night.
Oh, Rough Night. Oh,
thank you.
We didn't need to bring
Very
it back
sweet.
To that.
No.
I know.
Thank you.
I know.
But like Elliot came on and I was just like, God, what a good fucking... I just like bring it up when there's any peripheral connection to Paul.
No, we do love
thank
it.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Also, that is the cast.
The cast.
We I mean, what lucky. A dream.
That Ooh. Is the cast.
Oh, can I drop? Can I drop now?
Oh, yes.
Alana, angel on this earth, was just talking to Zoe at this Christmas party I was at. And she goes, Bowen, you should meet Zoe.
You met Zoe?
I met Zoe when Momoa hosted.
Oh, of course.
And so it was literally the whole gang. It was Momoa, fucking Lisa, Zoe, Lenny.
What a group. What a good group.
All in the dressing room. And then I had to run in with monologue changes. And I was like, hey, Jason, so it's between these two jokes. Like, we got to make one cut. So between these two, what do you like? I've told you this, right?
And they were like,
Lisa was like, it's got to be this one. Yeah. You make the Hawaiian God joke. And then, Zoe's like, Hawaiian God. And then Lenny's like, wait, what's going on? Oh, yeah, that one.
Wait, Lenny was there too?
They were all this unit making this decision.
Funny.
Zoe has something where she really gets it, truly.
She's really understands, like, people will think this is funny in a way that I should have as much confidence as she does as the director. Wow.
She watched an early cut and there were some things that didn't make it. And she was like, this joke you need to put in. And we were like, I tell you what, we'll try
we'll
it.
We'll test it.
And we did. And we did testing and they both killed. Were huge. And we were like, you were so right.
She really has she's smart. She's smart. She's funny. I love her.
We love them all. Her angels, she used to call them. My angels.
They are the angels. I love them all. We honestly could not have been luckier to have those women.
And I mean,
they love
each
other. They're still in a text chain. They're like,
oh, they're really?
Oh, yeah.
And I believe you can ask her. Kate carried around a picture of all of them.
Yes, I think she has.
I think she maybe in her wallet still does. Who knows? You ask her.
But it was really.
She has paraphernalia in her office from set, I think.
The like, you so bought the bond between them. I was like, I could just watch them do a whole.
And even talking about Ty Burrell and like Demi Moore.
I know.
Demi Moore is an icon.
They're both so hot.
I met Demi Moore. Actually, I also met Jillian at Sundance. And Demi Moore was coming in, and I was so gagged for Demi Moore to come in. And let me tell you what happened.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm interviewing Demi Moore along with Jessica Williams, Ed Helms, and Karan Soni, who's on Miracle Workers.
Who's also in Rough Night.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
He's so great. And they're all in this movie together, which is called Corporate Animals.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
coming out soon. Mm-hmm. It was at Sundance. And it's basically about like this, corporate bunch of people that work together. And Demi Moore's like the head of this company. And they go on like a corporate retreat. And they end up, their like guy dies and it becomes like a cannibalism comedy situation.
Okay.
So it's a very heightened comedy. Mm-hmm. So they're all wearing these like Demi Moore comes in, she's wearing like all these fun clothes. She's like here to promote her comedy.
Yes.
So I'm like doing my bit with her. I'm hosting for Vulture. And I say to her, you know, you're the most iconic crier in cinema history because you famously slayed in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle when you said, I was never good. I was great. And shot the thing. And
shot
a single tear.
And
I also said in Ghost,
oh, yeah.
you beautifully, iconically cried just from the center of your eye. Mm. No face crack, just one gorgeous tear.
Uh-huh. Ditto. And then
No, that wasn't that. But yes.
It was that.
No, it wasn't.
It was fucking, it was Patrick Bowen, saying, shut I love up. You. And
no,
then
it wasn't.
Ditto.
It was not cries. Ditto. You're thinking of the end, which is a different part where
she
cries.
And she cries in the end.
Not with the single tear down the center.
She does cry a lot.
Don't do that.
Oh my God.
Anyway. Stupid. So basically, I tell her this. That woman took off her sunglasses.
No, no, no.
Her tinted prescription glasses. And she cried right there.
No.
You can see a video of it.
Oh my God, I need to see it.
Fucking rated. She was so
underrated.
Underrated. She came to the set and was like, I'll do whatever. I'll do whatever. Uh-huh. We're like, okay, you're going to be eating Zoe out. She's like, great. Oh, I love
she,
it.
She goes with this. Can you dig a little trench so I can get low?
She had the PA dig a freaking trench so she could get low. Down in
she
there.
She is the best.
Ty came in fully, was like, okay, I'm this cheese dick guy. Come in with a full on spray tan, dark. It was, they Loved are it. So, they, it was windy as hell. I was so, I was stressed out.
Was it on location in Miami?
No, it was in the Hamptons.
The whole movie in New York.
Oh.
You know, when you want Miami, you shoot in New York.
And you put up 150 crew members in the Hamptons.
It was an issue. It was an issue. Wow. There was a lot of drama in terms of production. Okay, but anyways, we're going to skip it.
We're going to skip it.
Skip the drama.
Shot that in the Hamptons. It's windy. It's cold. It's not really summer anymore. Damn. And they came and they didn't complain at all.
And he had to get on a plane. Truly, it was an overnight.
Yes.
Got right on a plane for Modern Family.
Right. Wow. He got on a plane at like 5 a.m., flew right back. I mean, these two, everybody never complained.
Mm. And talk about
did their jobs.
Criers. I tell you what. Scarlett was like, how long? We had a scene where she had to read a letter and cry.
Yes,
she was like, when? Because there was no one else there. It was just, you know, she was just reading. She was like, how long do you need? And we were like, 30 seconds to a minute. Just, you know. She was like, okay. Truly, read it.
I think we're more specific. I think we're like 47 seconds.
Yeah. Read it. Looked up, cried with her two-camera eye, wiped it off. And we were like, that's it. It
was one take.
She could
one
do
take.
It two-camera.
I needed more takes, but we didn't have time. And so she made sure we got in one take.
That's a pro.
What a pro.
I mean, crazy. Also, my God, she's love like, I love Scarlett Johansson. Mm. Like, I have since Ghost World.
Mm. Yes. Oh, she's great Ghost World,
so
girl.
So good. I mean, also, she had that 1 year where it was Lost in Translation and Girl with a Pearl Earring. And I remember this was like when I was first starting to really kind of like try to watch like, you know, adult movies. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to see both of those. Didn't get either one of them. Lost in Translation, all the themes went like right over my head. Yeah. And I almost watched it on a plane actually the other day. Because I was like, maybe that's a good one to revisit. Uh-huh. I picked Sex and the City, the movie. That's just the mood I was in.
God, that's fine.
Big the plane broad. Dictates. The plane will dictate.
The plane will
dictate. Just do what you want. I often am like, I should be watching this because I haven't and I should now. Yeah. But I'm like,
no.
I'm in this mood. When you're on the plane dictates.
Wow. Exactly. I mean,
that's actually a rule of culture.
When we're on the plane.
743. We're deep in.
Jumped up.
When you're on a plane, the plane dictates it.
Yep.
And honestly, the plane dictated the other day that I watched the Whitney documentary.
Haven't seen it.
Devastating.
Oof.
The Sex and the City of the movie, because I had to lighten it up after that.
Of course.
And then Tully.
It's a long flight.
This was New York to LA.
Okay, okay. Tully, right?
She was long.
Tully, yes.
Yeah, Tully's good.
Edit down that pause.
It was a latent pause.
You know what just happened when you said Tully? I thought, I'm like, the one where Tom Hanks lands the plane in the water?
Oh, Sully.
Which I did not see. I was like, I didn't see it, but Tully I did like.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that Charlize is great.
Charlize is my favorite.
She is so great.
Do you like Young Adult?
Love Young Adult.
Young Adult is
so
good. Can I tell you, first 20 minutes.
Oh.
Young Adult, the basically the cold open until the sequence and when she puts in the tape into the car and starts driving.
Yes.
I was so gagged. to give a little mat on there.
Oh.
I was so gagged by that first 20 minutes that I had to stop the movie and pace around my house by myself.
Oh, I love it.
Because I was like, this is
She asked me to leave. She closed the door. She did it.
It's so brilliant.
Brilliant. Oh, yeah. The moment, it's so well observed.
Printing out that picture of the baby.
And the printer not working. I was like, this is me.
God.
It is, I mean, that movie, towards the end loses me just a little. Sorry, Jason Reitman.
Sorry,
love
Jason.
You.
Yeah.
But I just felt that movie was a nice little chunk of culture for me.
I agree. The end loses me a little bit too. I wish she doesn't sleep with Patton Oswalt.
Yes.
I felt like But then again, it's like,
I don't mind that.
It, you know what? It's like, it's kind of like the way I felt about the end of Girls, where it was like, wow, Marnie isn't going to grow at all. Mm. It's like, no, some people, they just don't grow.
Right, right, right.
And I thought that was a true, that felt right to me.
Mm. It wasn't actually the sleeping with Patton's sister that was the problem for me. It was the next morning being with a bitch sister. To his sister.
Yeah.
That I was like,
I was like, you've learned a little.
You could.
There should have been some arc, maybe. But the takeaway is that maybe there is.
Or just be nicer about, like, don't go to the city. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
She's like, I know. I just want the teeniest redemption. You know, a little fun sneeze.
But we're gagging for redemption. We're gagging for redemption.
Gagging for redemption.
I love that.
But wait. But also, that movie and Tully too made me want to go back and re-examine Diablo Cody like in all her work, because I remember when Juno came out, I think Juno was presented to me
as a movie that you should hate.
No, as a movie that I was
bullshit,
supposed
because I love fuck I fucking love Juno.
No, I think I would love Juno now, but at the time they were like, this movie is produced by Judd Apatow, and I was really looking for this to be like an
LOL.
Like a 40-year-old virgin type LOL movie. And wasn't ready for like the drama. I remember I went with all my like guy like friends in high school, Kenny, Kevin, Carl, and Nick, the three of them kids.
Wow.
And we all went together, and I remember just like sitting there and feeling self-conscious because I had been like riding hard to see this movie.
Right.
And they were like, why are we seeing this girl movie? You know what I mean? Like, I don't get what's the hamburger phone thing? Yeah. I don't understand. And I was like, oh no, like this is maybe for me later, but then I like really like hated it.
Right.
And I need to go back and see it now.
Yeah, yeah.
But the women in that film, like fucking Ellen, Jennifer Garner, and even Allison Janney.
Allison Janney.
Mm-hmm. So freaking so good. Jennifer makes that whole movie.
Jennifer Garner is great. So, her levels of empathy in that movie and jealousy and just all of it is so well. It might be her best work except for 13 Going on 30.
Yes. Wow. Thank you.
She gets to play
I like her most when she's playing a child. I like that.
Yeah. Yes.
I like that. When I think that's like a good sweet spot.
Right. That scene at the end of 13 Going on 30 where she's like, you're my best friend.
Yeah.
That is so good.
Star. And we need like a rom-com. Another rom-com.
We need a rom-com.
I think we do.
Why don't you guys write and direct?
Okay, rom-com?
Yes.
Great.
Yeah. You know what? What's the rom-com you want to see?
Mm.
What's the rom-com you would write?
Oh, we actually do have a rom-com on the deep
docket.
Background. Okay. The deep, like as in we've had one conversation about it.
Great. Which one?
The one with Carrie.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So it's essentially a version of...
Because we're working on a show that's a rom-com show.
Yes, we have a rom-com show, international rom-com show we're working on right now.
We love...
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yes.
Four couples around the world, anyway.
Oh.
All loosely connected.
Oh, okay.
That's all we can give you.
No, that's truly all I want.
And I love a dangle. Okay. I love a dangler.
Okay. My best friend's wedding.
Huh?
It's like My Best Friend's Wedding.
Which is my favorite.
But it's a girl and her best friend, and she's... gay, and it's her ex-girlfriend essentially, and her ex-girlfriend is marrying a guy, and she's like, I'm pretty sure we should be together,
right?
And so there's like a moment where like it seems like maybe it's gonna happen, and the movie's exploring maybe the like couple months before the wedding, like, was that really a relationship? Was it not? Was it just one way? Was am I like gaslighting myself and trying to be like, is this about orientation or about what is this about?
Yes,
this is good and rich.
Is that a good pitch on that? Did I pitch it okay?
Loved it.
It's about heteronormativity.
Mm-hmm.
Normativity
and also unrequited situations that everyone can relate to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and also like through what we're saying before, specific POV and lens, we need. I'm doing this. Tell them what I'm doing.
Wait, you're doing a
hang loose.
Hang loose. Yeah,
this is my favorite thing to do now.
Is it? I like doing hang loose.
Fucking hang loose.
We do hang loose.
Fucking, I gag.
We did our LA lyric hype here in show last night, and Matt and I told each other we were gonna come out and pump our fists, but with the hang loose.
Oh, I was
live
kidding.
Show. Genevieve was there.
Yeah, Genevieve.
Genevieve was there.
She's raving.
I live for Genevieve.
Oh my gosh, she lives for
Genevieve. Can we shout out Genevieve?
Genevieve and Yellow.
The real Genevieve, though, if you're not following on Instagram, you're not following the funniest Instagram.
Joel Kambooster and I had a conversation where we both agreed best social media presence. Actually, yes.
Yeah. Unrivaled.
Unrivaled.
Wow. Yeah. She's gonna love
that.
She's
very talented.
She's so talented. She's very so fucking funny.
That character where she's ordering food.
Yes.
Oh, no, no. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you. But then Alamo Draft House. You've seen Alamo Draft House.
Oh, that's a good
one. Oh, my gosh.
So good.
It's a veritable gold mine.
That's a girl who watched Summer Heights High at 14 or something.
Yeah. I remember giving her a thumb drive of Summer Heights High when she was like truly in middle school and being like, bitch, get ready.
Before it got to HBO, probably.
Yes. Way before. My friend was living in England and they had it and she brought it on like a flash drive.
God, wow.
Yes. A lot of English.
That's a gift,
huh? Yeah, that's a good gift.
That is a good gift.
Isn't that so crazy Genevieve can actually say that Summer Heights High is culture for her?
Yes. Yeah.
How old is she?
She just turned 22. 28.
22. No.
So this is the place you put it in writing.
I was.
Because so, I remember, I watched Summer Heights High like around freshman year of high school. As well.
Yeah. I was in this room with her and then I was like, God, Genevieve is like the coolest fucking chick.
She is.
And she's probably like, and this is, I mean this as a full like compliment. She's like a fully formed like person, like woman who's like just nearing 30. And then I found out that she's like, full year younger than me, and I was like, fuck. Whenever you love her. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We just have to quickly shout out Lucia's first on-screen turn on Broad City.
Oh my God.
Just really quickly.
Hysterical.
So good.
That was so good.
My pedophile.
Okay, so you can come, and I just RSVP'd, and they are happy to see you.
They're very excited to.
to meet you. Like, as if that was like.
You made so many good, choices. And my pedophile's here. So
not scripted.
Funny.
Not scripted.
Not scripted.
Well, pedophile. No, it wasn't in the script. It was worked on the set. Let's say that it's worked on.
Oh my
set.
But then you guys got a real pedicab.
The
to
pedicab
come.
Was it was there.
Oh, but
it
then you guys.
App. Yeah.
The app pedophile is perfect.
Yeah. My pedophile's here.
My pedophile's here. It's the people who love pedicabs. So good.
Thank you. It was it was really fun and I loved doing it.
What was the condition? Just the last thing. Malodorous dentata?
Pudenda.
Pudenda.
Malodorous pudenda.
Pudenda.
Smelly Pussy Dawn is the character's name if you guys aren't caught up yet.
Yes, yes.
It's a friend of Abby's from college.
Catch up. Smelly Pussy Donna, catch up, guys.
Catch up. She went to Micah. She went to Micah.
Yes, Micah.
She did. Okay, great.
We're
I think it's time.
It's time for I Don't Think So.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I can.
You have to.
No,
I might
wait,
not.
you did one of the best troll bowls of all time.
Get out of here.
You did, Paul.
Yes,
get
you did.
Get out of here.
And also, this is my favorite thing about what happened immediately before that.
Yes.
So you guys were in, I think, the first or second group.
Oh my gosh.
And Joel Kim Booster famously always has poppers on him at all times.
Oh my God. This moment
and
was
so
absolutely iconic.
I was scared, actually.
So, I heard
and this is what I'm saying, because I look back at like, Joel like puts the poppers under my nose, which if you're ever around Joel Kim Booster, you have to cover your nose because he will put poppers in your nostrils.
And
he loves to make your butthole
dilate.
Yeah.
That is not okay.
He's got the dense industrial stuff.
He truly has them on him at all times. And he goes, all right, before we go, we're going to do poppers. And I was like, okay. I'm down. So we did them. And I looked back and Paul, you were just in a state of shock. And then Sabrina Jalice comes up and I think took the largest hit of poppers
two.
I've ever seen. Two. And then did her I Don't Think So, Honey. And like, I could see her eyes were just black.
She was like,
I thought she was going to fall off the stage too. Honestly.
I was like, oh no.
Sabrina is the next level.
Sabrina's
absolutely
amazing.
Love her.
And then what immediately followed that was,
oh my God.
The troll bowl that you picked out was Mariah Carey. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And there was
thank
not a moment's hesitation.
Do you have a left ear?
Well, does she? Does she?
Do she?
I don't know. Does she? I don't know.
Does she have left ear?
Oh my gosh. And you know when you do troll bowl, then you leave and you're like, here's four more. Here's four more things I could have said about Mariah Carey.
Well,
you know
I do
what
that
I mean?
All
it's
the time.
Like,
what I do now is I don't prepare any of them at all. So just what comes out, comes out.
That's
and then
good.
I can't get upset.
Oh, that's good.
We also have to do hundreds.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Like we were literally today, we're like, oh my God, which ones are we going to do? And I think I have good ones. But
that's great.
Great.
Now, whatever you'll see.
Do you want? Okay, you have one prepared.
Well, why you do we don't do troll bowl on the pod.
You know who did we just do troll bowl with?
We just did troll bowl with Tawny Newsom.
Tawny Newsom pulled from the troll bowl because she famously doesn't prepare.
Star of
Star of Woman Up.
She
Okay, but yes, you have the option if.
But I want to hear what's up there.
Okay, but Matt, you want to go first?
I do want to go first.
Okay, this is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. That I'm obsessed with the trailer for Us, but I'm not gonna. gonna see Us because I'm too fucking afraid. God. I don't think so, honey. The movie Us, you are far too scary. If every literal thing I'm reading is true, I do not like scary movies. It physically hurts me to watch them. Ugh. However, I don't think so, honey, that in order to be part of the cultural conversation, I will have had to see Us. Today, we were in the back of a lift, and I don't think so, honey, the commercial for Us, when Lupita Nyong'o talks in this voice, I was like, that is the most scary thing I've ever heard in my life. I am absolutely not seeing it. I don't think so, honey, that I've watched the Us trailer approximately 400,000 times. Oof. I am obsessed with it. I do think so, honey, what they do with that song. I got five on them. Whatever they do, like, seconds. With the orchestra. Fuck that. I want to see that. Will I see that? I don't think so, honey. I am far too afraid. Jordan Peele, I don't think so, honey, that you are so good at what you do.
5 seconds.
Because even in terms of trailer construction, give that trailer an Oscar. Oh. It terrifies me, intrigues me, and I'm fucking pissed.
And that's 1 minute.
Woo! Wow.
Listen. Yes. Do you guys do scary movies?
I don't. I mean, I did Get Out, but I don't really.
We'll see if it's like Beyond. We'll see Get Out. We'll see Hereditary, but generally hate
them. Actually, we did see Hereditary.
Okay. Hate them. I feel
like did you all go together? Because Chris said that you guys, or they took Darcy to see Annihilation. We did Annihilation. And Darcy doesn't see scary movies.
We liked Annihilation,
like it. We did like it, and I don't usually like those movies. I didn't find that one to be scary for some
reason. It was just the alligator. That was the only thing. I mean, the end was like, just too bizarre to be scary to me. I was like,
It wasn't psychologically disturbing.
What is this, Umbrella
Academy?
But
I heard it was like, gory and like, Hoppe is nodding his ass off.
Hoppe is.
No, I can't do gore. He just made a motion to his intestines being out.
Yeah,
it's a no.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you could, I feel like Hereditary is probably the scariest, most shocking movie I've ever seen.
Oh, that movie is very
just for
scary.
the one moment alone.
Like you're talking about 40 minutes in.
Yes.
Oof.
And I'm just
that wrecked me.
Absolutely. That fucking I'm a changed
I still think
person.
About it all the time.
Yeah, I do too.
And I'm like, I can't believe.
Do you have siblings?
I do.
No, see, that's
I just thought about my mom and I was like, oh.
I know.
See,
it's
do you know
truly...
how hurtful it is for me as a gay man to know that Toni Collette is giving a tour de force and I can't see it? Do you know what that does to me?
I cannot
and
imagine.
Dad, you're missing out on some quality.
That's my trauma.
You're missing out on some quality and dad stuff too.
Oh, oh yes, see, that's right.
Yeah.
You really know how to stick it in and break it off. I know. But it is. This is not
stick
fair.
Stick it in and break it off.
Oh, stick it in
God.
And break
okay,
it off.
All right.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it took me literally 9 months to see Get Out because then when the Oscars rolled around, I'm like, I was like I had my SAG screeners and I was like, I gotta see it.
Yeah.
Because also, like, I want to be able to talk about it. Uh-huh. And then I fucking loved it. But I did that thing where it's like, I would like scroll ahead and scroll back and scroll ahead and scroll back.
Yes.
I'm a psycho. I can't.
She wikis things while we're watching. And I'm talking about a lot of times television. You'll wiki.
Oh, yeah.
She'd be like, I can't. I got to wiki it. And I'm like, how can you do this?
Literally.
You know the ending of Finding Neverland. You don't need to wiki it. You know.
In the lift today, I Googled Us spoilers. I Googled Us movie spoilers. Leaving Neverland. We know the end of Leaving Neverland.
Yeah, we do.
Right. Now is the time for Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, pre-exposure prophylactic prep, baby. I don't think so, honey, that it's killing my sex drive. Oh, and also, I don't think so. Wait, what is this a prophylactic for? Me getting fucked because I'm not getting it in, honey. And look, why? This is like the dumb irony of all this is that you're gonna fucking out me or did you prep shame me earlier? I can't tell if that was prep shaming.
No, I tried to encourage your sexual activity.
Well, anyway, it's not happening in any case.
That's not my fault.
Well, it's your
fucking fault.
I hate that I have to now take this blue pill every day and feel very confused about, like, well, I guess I should put this to good use, but oh wait, I have no access to putting this to good use.
15 seconds.
It's very sexually confusing. I'm sure I have prep queens out there who feel the same way.
Prep queens.
Please DM me only to talk about this, only to commiserate in our prep
nothing
queenness.
Else.
Nothing else.
Five seconds.
Don't want to have sex with you because, as I said before, prep is killing my sex drive, and I'm only taking it just to have the peace of mind.
And that's 1 minute.
Wow.
I don't know.
Here's the deal.
What?
We have to get you laid tonight.
No.
We're going
to
a warehouse party.
I have to see my parents in 12 hours. It's
you know how long it takes to have sex?
Yeah, no, you can't have sex within 20 to 36 hours seeing your parents.
You can't do that. That's my rule.
Ooh, I can't.
I'm gonna wingman you hard tonight.
You don't have to do that.
No, yeah,
you're gonna be. I encourage you to look out for yourself.
What am I gonna be?
What do you mean?
You said you're gonna be. And then you.
I said you're gonna be like on your own little prowl, and it doesn't have any, it doesn't have to do anything with
honey.
Anything to do with
when I go to the club, it's not about the prowl. It's about dancing.
Ooh.
Oh. Okay.
It's about the lights. It's about the environment.
Oh.
It's about the music.
Mm. Okay.
No, it's not.
Great.
Anyway.
Okay. So who's going first? I feel like
I'll do it.
Lucia.
I'm gonna do a little half reading.
Okay. She's got a reading.
She's got a reading.
This is Lucia Aniello's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Gender reveal party.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
You want to have a baby shower? Go fucking off. We're happy for you. That's fine. You want gifts for your baby? Hell yes, bitch. Put that Mima Zari stroller on your registry. I'll buy you that shit. I'm rich.
Yeah.
Gathering your friends and family to reveal the gender of your child is fucking archaic, okay?
Yeah,
this obsession with binary is stupid ass, okay? You're not revealing gender. You're revealing anatomy. And if you don't know the difference, you shouldn't be bringing a child into this world, honey.
Oh!
Okay, and you're going to release 100 pink balloons into the sky?
Seconds.
Think about the turtles.
Oh, my God.
They have to choke on your hot pink glitter because you needed to reinforce heteronormative stereotypes. I don't think I'm getting you that Mima Zari stroller anymore because I don't think so, honey.
Oh!
And that's and 1 minute. And we have 1 minute. There we go. Honestly, I have said before, I don't think so, honey, balloons for this very reason. It's environmentally
bad.
Threatening.
And the ones that say that they're environmentally friendly are lying.
Absolute liars.
It's not true.
Oh my God. That's big rubber.
That's big rubber. And also, I don't think so, honey, gender reveal parties, I totally agree, because guess what? Not always 100% correct either.
Oh, I'm sure.
And also, then you look like a freak and a fool when you've painted your whole house blue. Also, who said that blue was the boy color?
Well, actually, do you know that blue used to be the girl's color because it was the Virgin Mary.
Okay.
The Virgin Mary was like blue.
Okay.
And that was girls. But honestly, I think it had something to do with Hitler being like pink is for girl. I don't know exactly.
Is that true? Oh, that isn't a hilarious misnomer potentially to spread. Hitler made pink girls.
I think that might be true. But anyways, I also am like, it's such bullshit because you always see like dads being like, yay, when it's girls' color. And it's like reinforcing it for all the children that are there that guys are like wanting boys. And, like,
exactly.
It's just all so gross. Wow. It's like so, and almost, it's so gross. I hate it.
Yeah, and like TBH, I don't want to hear that you'd rather have one or the other.
No.
Because that will like, once you put that out there, like everyone hears it. And if you have the other one, it's like,
it's a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I wanted a girl, but it's okay. I'm like, it's just, that's, no.
Like, what?
And it feels like, honestly, it's being pushed by moms. I'm sorry to, like, mom shame in this way, but I'm like, it's a party to, like, be like, here's the, I don't know. I am becoming like, not if you, like, don't carry it, whatever. I'm just feels like it's, like, a party to be like, I can use my body to have a child, which is a beautiful, great thing, but, like, to be like, and the result of it is the thing that's important. The gender of it is what's important. I'm like, just have a baby party. Yeah, it's like a new
party.
Life. It's a new life party.
That's, and also, you know, not necessarily it's gender.
That's
exactly right.
It's the anatomy, it's not the gender. Yes. Gender is drag.
Then you'll look like a real fool. Gender is drag.
Wow.
All gender is drag.
All gender is drag.
Thank you.
That was a rich one. There was
a lot
to say.
That was a rich one.
Socratic.
I feel
even.
It.
Okay. I think it's time for Paula Downs. Do you have a left ear?
Am I going to do it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay, so it's been discussed. Okay.
Okay.
Because I was, okay.
It just happened.
It just happened truly 30 seconds before I walked in the room.
Oh my God, I can't wait. This is Paul W. Downs's I Don't Think So, Honey's time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. I don't think so, honey. Don't make me come on a podcast and write a minute of brand new material when all I want to do is shoot the shit, honey.
Drag us.
I am too busy writing film and television and theater.
Oh, no, he's rich.
Yes, theater.
Theater.
Yes, honey. I wrote 2 I Don't Think So, Honeys, and then I was told they've been done before, honey.
No! We're an institution.
It's stressful, honey. This is the best podcast in America.
No!
Yes, and you are the best host, charming and funny. You are enough.
No!
We don't need this. We don't need a gimmick, honey. If I want to do homework, I'd go back to school, honey. But I'm not going to go back to school, honey.
Oh, my God. I don't have the time.
Oh, my God. Don't you worry.
No, 15 seconds.
Okay. Don't you worry.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to go back to school, honey. And it was going to be that I don't have a full minute because I don't think so, honey. I don't think so, honey.
And that's 55 seconds.
Wow. Honestly, it was more than I thought it was going to be.
That was incredible. I love being tracked.
It made me sweat because you know I love you guys and I love the pod.
Oh my
and
god!
I, you know, but I did write two, and then Genevieve was like, "I think that one's been done." And
well,
I was
we
like,
didn't tell oh, you that it had been done.
What were the two that you had done? They had been
Dog People,
Dog mm-hmm. People, mm-hmm.
Sooty Green.
Well, the other one hadn't been done, but it just didn't. I was doing it as a secondary, which was Restaurants with Bad Bread. I'm like,
oh, but Restaurants with Bad Bread, I'm like, I don't think so, honey.
We'll but then I just truly time. Said that. I was like, I don't think so, honey. I don't think so, honey. And I was like, that's it. I might do it.
Yeah, no, yeah, I guess. Get it.
But you know, I love you, right?
Oh,
everything's
come on.
Cool. Okay, great.
And listen,
okay,
just here's the deal.
Okay,
here's the deal.
Okay,
I emailed these two after the show, and I was like, I genuinely was very excited. I don't think I've ever been so excited to have people on.
That is so nice.
Yeah, I was like, the live show, I can't believe you guys came out and did it.
Oh,
we were
it was so
honored,
fun.
No joke. Honored.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord and word.
Love, Joel. We did miss you.
I was FOMOing
really
the most.
That night.
I was FOMOing the most.
It was so fun.
Yeah,
that was a
you.
Fun one.
Yeah,
that
it was great.
It was really fun. And also, I felt bad because it was raining so much and I made everyone come downtown.
Yeah.
But like,
it's fine.
You know,
it was
you
so fun. Honestly,
oh my God.
I feel like it's a great way also to see so many people you haven't seen in so long.
Yeah, yeah.
It is like a bizarre
and the crowd
reunion.
Is lit. You
the
have a great
lit.
House.
Yeah.
I mean, the people were into it. They were going nuts. It was really.
It was really fun. Also, the thing is about I Don't Think So, Honey is like truly. I Don't Think So, Honey is nothing. It's a we thought no one would ever listen to this podcast when we started it. We were like, it's like an hour and a half of time we scheduled each week to like have
just
a play
talk.
Date.
Yeah.
Then they were like, well, you should have a segment. And I was like, okay.
And
so we came up with I Don't Think So, Honey because it's something we said to each other all the time when we were like stupid
which
fighting.
Is, yes.
And Matt was like, it'll be a minute of us just like ranting, whatever. Like,
I
truly,
was just like,
it was like,
it's a minute rant. Like, it, like that, it was like revolutionary.
It was like a meta commentary on segments and podcasts. And
yes.
Like, okay, we'll do
yes.
something
yes.
classy
yes.
as shit and rant for a minute. Fine.
Yeah.
And then
I think it's an outlet people want to do. They're like, I need to come on to do this.
Oh,
I want
cathartic.
To. I want to have a platform.
Yeah.
I want to rant. I want to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I wanted to impress you guys.
You
know what I mean? So I really was working. I was really, you know.
It's impossible for you guys to
anyway
not live up to.
You guys are the best.
The sky high.
And also, to be honest with you, this is just the way I feel about Chris and Sarah too. Like, just to like. Have no whatever be doing comedy and then like oh the people that like are doing comedy on like a high level in an aspirational way that I like are also nice and cool and we give you the time of day.
Oh my God,
I love
oh
you guys.
Oh, we love you
well
guys.
We have
so
mutual love and respect.
Mutual
yeah.
love
well, truly this makes me my heart sing.
Good.
And really quickly, I mean, I will remember this day for the rest of my life. Well, one the Broad City origin.
Yeah.
And then truly shooting the Awkwafina pilot.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can talk about this now.
I can't
Let's
wait.
Let's do it.
Yes.
But like, just really quickly, that day, I walked away to go meet my friend Emily for dinner, and I like cried the entire time, just out of pure joy.
That's so nice.
Of just like, have I talked to you about this?
I don't think so.
Where it was just like, I walked onto that set. It was like, we shot in Chinatown. It was all Asian background. All the names on the call sheet were Asian. Mm-hmm. We sit down, we're eating food, and then, like, BD, like, starts talking to me about, like, oh, well, like, you know,
BD.
Is this your first scene where you're eating something? And I'm like, yeah, I think so. And he was like, well, here's the thing. Don't eat too much because then you're going to just keep eating this shit in between takes. You're going to be so full. And then Nora was like, oh, yeah, don't do that. Like, that's, like, pro tip. Like, don't do that. It was just this moment. And then over the course of the entire shoot, like, it was, like, there was a plate with wood ears, which is this, like, Chinese fungus. That like is just a staple in cooking in Asian cooking, and then we all talked about that, and no one had to explain what it was, and then that was like the general sense of it was that like no one had to explain anything to each other, and like I was like I've never experienced this, like walking onto a set and like not having to like feel like I had to like keep up some layer of respectability just because it's like well I gotta have my shit together, and it's not even about that, but it was just about like the comfort of just not having any of those walls up and just like, and then working with you and it
and
was just so beautiful.
I'm an objective observer. You are so funny in it.
Oh, you
so
are
good.
So good in the pilot.
So good.
Thanks so much.
You know, the room is like obsessed with being like, how much can we have?
I know.
Oh my God, Bowen.
It's true.
Stop. I went in the other day and it was, I got chills. Like the stories that they were talking, like the arcs and shit, not even stuff that has to do with me. With Edmund, I was just like, this is going to be so cool.
Yeah, I hope. I think it will be.
To see it. Yeah,
I think it's like we're really just. I mean, it's not my show. I'm you know, helping and a part of it. But I think we really just want to help people tell the stories that haven't been told. Yeah. And it's like we're trying to make this like a very well. She's like, you know, three quarters Chinese, quarter Korean, three quarter Chinese, quarter Korean queen story about a family and about people who, you know, are at different levels of their. Like where they are in terms of their Americanness and not. Yes.
Oh, interesting.
It's got a lot of, it's just, I think I hope that people feel seen by it because that's really, it really is, I think, the intention. I think she's so funny and the writers are so funny. And Carrie Dornett, who's the showrunner, is truly like an angel on earth. Mm-hmm. She's the funniest person. And so I think it's a really awesome group of people that I think are making something really special.
Me too.
Are you directing several episodes?
I am doing four total of this season, four of ten.
Amazing. But yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, and me too.
That coming in January 2020,
I think that's right.
I think so.
I don't know for sure.
It's paired with the other two.
It's paired with the other two.
Really?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh
my God. I don't know. Queen.
We're putting it out there.
That'll be fun.
Anyway.
What a fun app. What a fun time.
What a great time.
Let's do a four hour.
Have us come back for part two.
Please.
Honestly. And then we can hear I Don't Think So, Honey Bad Bread.
I'll do it anytime. I'll do anything you want.
How do you feel about the Outback Steakhouse bread? The brown bread?
Oh, I'm not a big brown bread person.
I don't like it.
Okay, yeah, I'm not a big brown bread. I'm not against all brown bread. Don't get me wrong. Some brown bread is
brown
great,
bread in Ireland is incredible.
Yeah. It depends on the kind.
He was talking about cinnamon raisin toast this morning.
Yeah.
Cinnamon raisin toast is good.
It is really good. I don't know why. I'll tell you why. Lucia smelled like it this morning. Weirdly, I was like, you smell like cinnamon raisin toast, which I used to have at my grandmother's house, and I haven't had since I was a true child, but that was good.
Yeah, Greta made it the other day in the morning. My friend I'm staying with was like, do you want some cinnamon raisin toast?
And really?
Wow. So that's in the atmosphere, too.
It is
olfactory heaven.
Olfactory heaven.
Love it. Paul and Lucia.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
We end every episode with a song.
Can you look me in the eye and tell me that you're happy? You gotta meet me.
Oh, are you doing Michelle Branch?
Yes.
Oh, tell me that you're happy now. Ooh. Could you tell it to my face? So have I been erased? Are you happy now? Ooh. Are you happy now? No!
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.